Take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll begin reading today in verse 5 and go through verse 9. Speaking to you on the subject today of working for Jesus while working with others. Working for Jesus while working with others. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Follow in your Bibles as I read. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be back in your house together with your people. Thank you for everyone who's come out. We pray especially if there's someone here today who has never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior. We pray for them that today would be the day of faith for them. But Lord, as we think of people needing the Lord, we also think of how we as God's people need to be a testimony. How do we need to have a testimony for Jesus Christ and to live our lives in a way that won't be a stumbling block to anyone watching us. And the passage before us today is very important in that light. And so we pray that you would take it, Lord, and use it to minister to each of us, instruct us in the way we should be as we conduct ourselves in the workplace or whatever the relationship might be. We ask for your guidance to bring the message today, and we pray that Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified through it all. May everyone who knows Jesus here today be a faithful servant of yours, properly representing you wherever we go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christians often fail to comprehend the concept that our life, every part of it, is sacred. There is no secular part to the Christian's life. It's all sacred. We find that in various places in the Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, it says it like this, "Unto Him be glory in the church." That's not in the church building, that's in the people, the church. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So all the time, to Him be glory in the church. So we're always to bring glory to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So we can't take time off. We're representatives of the Lord everywhere, and we're always to bring glory to Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." This passage in Ephesians illustrates this clearly. Because we are told to be filled with the Spirit, chapter 5, verse 18, and then we're told the results of being filled with the Spirit are seen in the home, not just in church, but in the home, between husbands and wives and children, and then also in the workplace is what we're looking at today. There is never a time or place where Christians can forget who they are and who they represent. We are children of God and we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ all the time and everywhere. There is no place that we're not that. All the time, our life is sacred in that sense. We're all the time supposed to be bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're looking at chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And these verses tell us that we're to represent the Lord in the workplace, and while we're working for others and working with others, we're always to be working for Jesus Christ. The message of these verses today is greatly needed. The employee-employer relationship in our nation today is greatly strained and sometimes, or I might say many times, broken because people will not heed what the Word of God says concerning the employee and the employer. When people are unthankful for their job, disrespectful to their employer or their workers, and unproductive in their job and what they do, they just don't really care about the quality of their work, it gives clear evidence that we need the instruction of this passage today, and that people who do those kind of things are actually disobeying God. Often workers expect a good paycheck when they don't think that the company they owe the company nothing. So they think they need a good paycheck, but they don't think they need to give anything really to get that paycheck. Unions are protecting the drunkard today who sometimes shows up on the job inebriated, the unproductive workers protected, the person who turns out poor quality is protected. And the person who misses work and then lies about the reason he misses work is protected. I remember seeing that as a young person. There was a certain person I knew very well. And he was all the time calling off work and saying his back was really messed up, when all of us who knew him knew that was not true. He was lying, and he also claimed to be a Christian. And often the employer does the same kind of thing, wrong thing. The Lord's talking about the employee and the employer in this passage. And sometimes the employer does the wrong thing. Many times that happens. Many times you've probably heard of an employee being hurt by an employer, even though they've given years of faithful service and work. And the employer comes in and terminates their job for one reason, that is, just so they'll make a little more profit. Now, I understand that those things are sometimes necessary to terminate people because you can't afford them. But I personally have had two experiences of people I knew very well who were terminated by employers who had worked for them a good while, one of them a long period of time. One of them was a banker that I know of. He was the vice president. They had a few vice presidents. He was one of the vice presidents of the bank and very well respected. He would take all the classes that were needed to upgrade his skills and all of that. And everybody loved this man. And he was one of the members of our church. And one day he came into work. The bank had made some changes and they brought on a new man. And the new man was brought on for one reason, and that is to terminate people. He walked into his office, said, "I want your keys," handed him his keys, and he said, "Now I'll walk you out. You are terminated today." Now, that's not right. That's wrong. Now, a business might get to the place where they don't need someone or they can't afford someone, but if you've given years of service, you should at least have the respect to come in and explain that, give them time to adjust, you know, try to do right by that person. But I've known of cases where companies will bring in somebody just for that purpose. Somebody out of town that nobody knows personally. Somebody who is an axe man. He comes in and just cuts the job off and it doesn't bother him because he doesn't know the people anyway. Those kind of things are wrong. If you're doing wrong as an employee, the Lord speaks about that. If you're doing wrong as an employer, God speaks about that. But we do need to understand something this morning. And that is, Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9, are instructions for the Christian, not for the world. We can't expect the world to act like Christians, but we can expect Christians to act like Christians. That's the difference. You know, we would like for the world to act that way, but we really don't expect that, but we should expect that from Christians. And it's a terrible thing when you find a Christian disobeying God in relation to the instruction of these passages, of this passage. Now, there's some things I want us to understand as we look at this morning. First of all, the word servant is actually the word slave, a bond slave. In those days, there were slaves. Slavery was very commonplace in the Roman Empire in those days. And in the church of those days, when Paul was ministering, there would be people in that church who were slaves, and there would be people in that church who were slave owners. It was something that was a part of the society, and it was something that that existed. And you read the account of Philemon. The book of Philemon was written because Paul had met a slave in prison, led that slave to the Lord, and so Paul sent him back to his slave owner, which also was a friend of Paul's, and Paul gave instruction. He didn't tell him to release him. He didn't tell him to stop the relationship they had. He just said, you make sure you treat him right, because he's now your brother in Christ. And that was common in those days. And so there were these, what he's writing to particularly are slaves and their masters. And he says, servants or slaves, be obedient to your masters. But in today's world, in relation to us in this passage, if that applied to slaves and masters, it has to apply to employees and employers, because you're working for somebody and for pay. And so the principles have to apply there. Now, we need to also notice something else. Paul did not condemn slavery. In fact, some people don't like the Bible because they say the Bible doesn't condemn slavery. The Bible doesn't condemn slavery. It doesn't come out and say slavery is wrong and you must release all the slaves. Now, the principles of the Bible say slavery is wrong. But God never gave a command for slavery to be abolished. Now, you might say, well, preacher, are you telling me that slavery is all right? No, I'm not saying that at all. But when God introduced the gospel to the world, to the Roman world, God's intention was not to just do away with the problem of slavery. God's intention was for people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And some of those people were owners of slaves, and some of those people were slaves, and some of those people were those who were not involved in slavery. But he knew that all of them had a common need, and that is all of them needed Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the only way you're going to change slavery is to change the people who are involved in it. And over a period of time after they're changed, then the slavery is going to change. And that's what's happened. That's what happened in the United States, I believe. Over a period of time, people came to the realization that this is wrong. It's got to be changed. And it was changed. It never would have been changed if people hadn't become Christians and then saw that. Also, if the Lord's intention then was just to release the slaves, then you'd had parties. You know, there would be the anti-slavery party and the slavery party, and people might get involved in those causes, but never trust Jesus. You see, the main thing is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Now, as Paul talks about this, we also know something else by way of introduction. And that is, he talks about two realms. Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. There is an according to the flesh realm. You know, we live in this world. And he says, you have masters according to the flesh. But there's also another realm, and that is according to heaven. A realm in relation to the flesh and a realm in relation to heaven. Look at verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. So according to the flesh, they're servants of men, but according to heaven, they're servants of Christ. Look at verse 9. And you master, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. You have a master on earth, he says to these slaves, but you have a master in heaven. Now, that relationship of the master in heaven comes down and affects this relationship of the master on earth, so that even back then, there was really no secular part of these people's life. All of it was sacred. Even though they had an according to the flesh relationship, it was governed by this heavenly relationship of them, of God being over them, and He was their master, and He's telling them how to act. Now, another thing we need to note is that obeying these commands in verses 5 through 9 is not natural. It's supernatural. You don't really act this way unless you're led by the Spirit of God. And Ephesians 5, verse 18, the whole context is talking about that. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, then the wife will submit to her husband as she should. The husband will obey, will love his wife as he should. The children will obey their parents as they should. The parents will treat their children as they should. And also, if you're filled with the Spirit and you're in this relationship of servant and slave, servant and master, the servant will be the right kind of servant and the master will be the right kind of master because he's controlled by the Spirit of God. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to be controlled by the Spirit of God, and if you are, this is the way you'll live. Now let's look at the instructions that He gives to the servant. We'll look at the instructions to the servant, then the instructions to the masters, and then we'll look at the incentive that we have to obey these things. First of all, let's look at the instructions to the servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Be obedient. That's their command. The command is, be obedient. The master tells you to do something, do it. As long as it doesn't tell you, as long as it's not something that God tells you not to do, the master tells you to do something, do it. Maybe you think you shouldn't do that menial task, do it. Maybe you think it's too rough to do this task, do it. Maybe you're too tired to do it, do it. Maybe you're sick and he says do it, do it. He says, masters, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, he says, servants, obey in all things your masters. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Now you might say, well, if the master treats you all right, you should do it. Well, that's not what it says. He says, servants, be obedient to your masters. Let me read what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says. It's interesting that instructions concerning servants and masters appear in several places in the Scripture. Ephesians has it, Colossians has it, Titus has it, 1 Peter has it, other places as well. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, it says this, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know what the word froward means? It means crooked. I mean the crooked master. You're to submit to him as well. Now, notice the characteristics of their obedience, of their submission. He says it like this. Verse 5, he says, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Now, I don't believe that Paul is meaning that here's your master and you're the servant, and he tells you something to do, and you're scared to death of that master, and so with fear and trembling, you obey him. That's not his point. I think his point is, with fear and trembling to the Lord. The Lord's that one that gives you this command. The Lord's the one that says, do this. And with fear and trembling to God, you're to do this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said he was, in talking to the Corinthians, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Now, Paul wasn't saying, I come to you, Corinthians, and I come to you in fear and trembling of what you might do. He's not saying that. He says, I come to you in fear and trembling of Jesus Christ and my responsibility to Him. And you remember he said another place in 1 Corinthians, he says, I don't want to be a castaway. So I make sure that I keep my body in subjection, lest that any means after I've served others and been, I would be a castaway, put on the shelf so I can't serve the Lord. He said, I don't want that to happen. I know I'm going to face Jesus. And with fear and trembling, I want to do what He wants me to do. Now, let's go from the masters and the servants to the employee and the employer. We have here today in our congregation, I'm sure, several people who work for an employee, or maybe you are the employer. What does this say to you? It says to you that you should be a good employee or a good employer. And here we're talking about employees. He says you should be a good employee. And you should obey the orders of your employer. You should do what you're supposed to do. Do the job that you're supposed to do with fear and trembling because God tells you to do that. You're a representative of Jesus Christ and He tells you to do that. And He says to do it with fear and trembling. Then He says in singleness of your heart, verse 5, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto the Lord. That means focusing, concentrating on doing the job. The Scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You remember there was a slave that we read about in the Bible who wasn't a slave because he wanted to be, of course. His name was Joseph. He was sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt. You remember Joseph when he was there. He was a slave. I mean, that's not what... He was a favorite child of Jacob, and he doesn't want to be in this situation, but that's where he is. And the providence of God has allowed him to be in that place, and so he's sold into Potiphar's house as a servant. And so he is the best servant he can be. Why? Because he feared God. And God honored him for that. And he did it with the best of his ability in singleness of heart. He did that. And you remember he got in trouble because Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon him and tried to get him to commit immorality with her. And he wouldn't, so she lied about him. And here he loses that position and he's thrown into jail. Guess what he does in jail? He's the best person he can be in jail. And before long, he's in charge of the jail. I mean, God honors him. And God says, wherever you are, in whatever position you are to represent the Lord and do the best you can. And so employee, you are to be a good employee and you're to do it with singleness of heart. You're to focus your attention doing this as unto Christ. So your employer comes in and he gives you a command of something he wants you to do. You're to do it. Because you know that this represents Jesus Christ and you're doing as unto Him. Maybe you don't like the employer. God doesn't tell you have to like Him. Maybe you don't like Him. But you're supposed to do what God tells you to do because you're doing this as unto Christ. And then He says in verse 6, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. So you're to be a good employee because God wants you to, and you're to do this, it's the will of God, and you do it from your heart. No room for grudging and a grudging attitude as an employer. No room for complaining and griping and causing trouble and stirring up dissension in the workplace. No room for that. You are to be the best employee you can possibly be. And then he says another thing about their employment. Or their service. And he says in verse 6, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Now I think all of us understand what that means. Eye service as men pleasers. That means that you are a great employee. You work hard and efficient when the boss is looking. But when he's not there, you don't. I've worked with people like that, and I'm sure you have too. You know, they're just fine as long as somebody's watching them that they want to watch them. And maybe they'll get some points. And so then maybe they'll look good to the employer. And so it's with eye service as men pleasers. God says that's not the way it is. It's like the little boy, you know, he was stealing something. And he had a friend who was a Christian. And he happened to be with him and he thought, oh, this is terrible. I got to get out of here. And the boy who's stealing something looks this way, and he looks that way, and he looks behind him, and looks in front of him, and he starts to take it. And the little boy who was a Christian said, you forgot to look up. You forgot to look up because there's somebody up there looking too, isn't there? And so you're not to do it with eye service as men pleasers, but you're to do it as pleasing the Lord because He's watching. So when the employer walks out, do you breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, I fooled him again. Now I'll just go about my way, just doing my time and not trying to produce much, just doing my time. I think I probably told you before, years ago when I first got married, I was an employee at Frigidaire. And that was my experience of working for a union shop. And I worked on the assembly line. And I remember the guys, they would get upset with me because here I was a young guy and I was a Christian. I was trying to do a good job. I was just trying to do a good job, and I thought you were supposed to do that. I thought you were supposed to work hard and produce as much as you could. It didn't take too long for me to find out they weren't going to let me do that. I mean, I didn't have any choice. They were not going to let me do that. Now, I tried, but they wouldn't let me. They got upset with me. So what did they do? When I started putting things on the assembly line and working hard, it made them work harder, and they didn't like that, so they threw something down in the chain on the assembly line, and it stopped. And they sat down and just waited until somebody came to fix it. And they said, "We'll teach you." Well, I was put in a place where I couldn't do that. I mean, I worked as fast as I could, and if they would keep up, but it didn't do me any good to put any more on there. Now, what was that? What was happening? Those people were men pleasers. They were eye service and men pleasers. And they were not going to allow us to do a good job because they weren't trying to do that. They were just putting in their time. And also, I worked at another job where they had a, this was in another place when I was in Indiana, but it was, you worked on time, on the pieces, and you set a certain goal, you know, and if you were worked at this certain goal, there were so many pieces you were to produce, and you had to do that, but the guys didn't like it if you worked hard and increased that number. Because if you did that for a while, that meant they had to increase their number. And they didn't like that at all. And so they just wouldn't let you do it. People, many times, just want the paycheck. They're not interested in doing a good job. And God wants us to do a good job. And so he says, not with eye service. With goodwill, he says in verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Our employment should recognize we are serving the Lord and we're not serving men. If we claim to be a Christian, people that watch us should see in our lives that we're Christians. If we claim to be people who respect those who are over us, then we should act like those who respect people who are over us. We should do a good job. I remind you that people are watching you. People are watching you. And if you work on a job and there are other employees there and you have an employer, you will have a lot of opportunities just to do a good job and to properly represent Jesus Christ. And you'll also have a lot of opportunities to mess up. And people are watching you. I heard the other day an illustration of somebody that's close to me, and they were telling me about this. And they said that this particular person, for some time in his life, had not gone to church. And the reason he hadn't gone to church is because he observed somebody in their work for the Lord, you might say. And that is, he went out to lunch one day with the pastor. And the pastor, they were eating their lunch and everything, and the pastor reached over and grabbed a whole handful of the sugars, you know, that you put in coffee. Whole handful of them, stuffed them in his pocket. And he made this comment. He said, "Well, that's about a week's supply. I won't have to buy." And he looked at the fellow who's telling me this, and he says, "What was that?" And he said, "Well, it was stealing." He said, "That's exactly right. It was stealing." And he said, "That's bothered me ever since." People are watching you, my friend. And you are representing Jesus Christ. And what Jesus thinks is much more important than what your employees think that work with you. You are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go on to the next thing he talks about, and that is the masters. Notice the command to the masters. He says in verse 9, "Ye masters, do the same things unto them." Ye masters, do the same things unto them. Now, it doesn't mean masters, obey your servants. But he's talking about do the same things unto them that I told the servants to do, and that is this, with fear and trembling. You represent Jesus Christ as well, and you're going to face Him someday, and with fear and trembling, you be a good master. Not in singleness of heart. You make sure that you do the best job you can as an employer, as a master. You make sure you do the best job that you can. Give it everything you've got. Do the best you can because you have a Savior that's watching you. And also he says, not with eye service. You see, in most cases, an employer, the one that you look at as your employer, your boss, they usually have a boss. So you work for a company and you are an employee, and over you as is your boss. And the one, if you're going to be involved in men pleasing and eye service, it's going to be to that boss. But you also have to understand that that boss has a boss. And so you must make sure that, so if you are the employer and that is your the boss, you have a boss as well. And a lot of times the employer or the boss on the job is doing the same thing that the employee on the job is doing. The employee is working hard when he's around and trying to please him. And many times the employer, the boss, is trying to please his boss who is above him and doing the same thing. And that is just making it look good for himself. Doing whatever it is to make it look good for him, and so that the one over top of him thinks he's doing well. And so the Lord says to this master, he says, not with eye service, not in singleness of heart, with fear and trembling. You do the same thing like I told the servants. But then he says this, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. Forbearing threatening. You know, this is the temptation of an employer, is to become proud and look down on the people around you, that are under you, and threaten them. You can do it without saying anything sometimes. Sometimes you can do it with a look. Sometimes you can do it with intimidation in other ways. But you threaten them. You know, you better do this or I'll have your job. You know, you can just threaten. The Lord says the employer who is a Christian should be an employee who does things because he represents the Lord. He's the best he can be, but he doesn't use threatening to get his way. He doesn't use threatening. And God just points that out. He says, forbearing, threaten. Don't threaten your servants. Don't threaten your employees. Don't display a wrong spirit toward them. Don't put them down by reminding them that they are the employee. You are the boss. You have to understand that he's talking to Christians over Christians and Christians over those who are not Christians. And he says every time, if you know the Lord, you act as a Christian would act. And then he gives them example. Notice the example. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is a respect of persons with him. Knowing that your master is in heaven. Who is the master's master? He's writing to Christian. Who's the Christian master's master? His master is Jesus Christ, and he's in heaven. And he, your example, is no respecter of persons. I'm so glad of that. Jesus died for who? He died for everyone. He will save who? He'll save anyone who will come to him. He provides for who? Just the educated or the smart? No, he provides for all of us, every one of us. He's not a respecter of persons. You see, when you think about who he is, everyone under the Lord Jesus Christ is so much under him. I mean, he is God, and we're his creation. And so the Lord is no respecter of persons. And so he says to the master, don't you be a respecter of persons, because your master in heaven is watching you. Our Lord is a wonderful master. He's a wonderful master to all of us. And I remind you what he said in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't think anybody here would stand and say today, preacher, Jesus is my master. But I'll tell you, he sure is a tough master. I don't like the way he treats me. He's not good to me. He changes my wages. I mean, he threatens me with my retirement plan. God doesn't do that. God is a wonderful master. He's good to every one of us. He provides for us all the time. He says, I always love you. There's no exception. I love you regardless. He said, I am working to prepare a place for you. Your retirement plan is out of this world. I mean, it's the best that can possibly be. I mean, the Lord is a great master to all of us. He's no better to me than he is to you. He's a great master. And so the Lord says to those who are in authority, he says, make sure that you're a good master as well. Now, let's go on as we close this morning and look at one more thing. And that is the incentive for obedience to the Lord. Notice what the incentive is. He says, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. We're going to see Jesus someday. And here's our incentive. You say, well, down in this life, I'm just an employee. I've never been the boss. I'm just an employee. And sometimes I get tired of all that's going on. The Lord says, remember, someday you're going to see me. And if you've gone through suffering as an employee, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be in us, that shall be revealed in you. I mean, there's going to come a day that we are going to see Jesus. If you're a slave back in those days, if you're a slave and here you have this master, maybe he's a bad master and the Lord tells you to obey him. The Lord says, don't worry about it, just do it. And one day it'll all change and you'll be so glad you did because you're going to see me. You're going to see me. And when you see Jesus, he puts everything in perspective and makes it all worthwhile. And you'll be so glad that you trusted him and you obeyed him. Someone wrote this. It's an old poem, and I got it from Dr. Jones in his commentary, and he said this. Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. I'm away from Jesus now, but every day my moving tent is a day nearer home. We're going to see Jesus. And so the Lord says to us, whether you're servant or master, whether you're employee or employer, he says, whatever it is, just obey me. Do the best you can. Be a Christian all the time. There's no secular part of your life. It's always to the glory of God. Always do that because someday you're going to see Jesus. But not just are you going to see him, but notice what he says. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The Lord says, I will reward you. So, here's your condition as an employee, maybe. And the Lord's asking you to be the best employee you can. And on the job, the Christian should be the very best. I mean, you have an opportunity to show people what a Christian's like, and you should be the very best for Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I remind you, I'll reward you someday. Someday you're going to be rewarded. And you know when we get to heaven, there won't be any of those divisions. There won't be in heaven somebody over you and you submissive to them. Everybody's going to be under Jesus Christ as we are here, but there will be none of these other divisions of us being under other people. We are going to be all in new bodies and a perfect place. And the Lord says that's coming for us and he's going to reward us. The scripture tells about it in several places. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. So if you as a Christian are an employee or an employer, The Lord will examine you, how you've conducted your life, whether it was good or bad, and He'll reward you accordingly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And some men's work is wood, hay, and stubble. I believe a person who says they're a Christian and they come to church and everybody at church thinks they're a great Christian, but on the job, I mean, I remember a man in my years as a teenager. In our church, he was highly respected. But then I started hearing some things from the people who worked with him. And one person told me that he had a terrible attitude on the job. He was in a position of authority over some men and he didn't treat them right. I remember another man as a kid, I heard about him. He also was very active in our church. And I heard them say, on the job you should hear him talk. You should hear the language that comes out of his mouth. You know, I don't know if those things are true. But I've never forgotten them. And I've always wondered. The Lord wants us to have a good testimony. Men should speak well of us wherever we are. And the Lord says, I will reward you someday. And I will give you rewards based upon what you've done. Don't be pious and say, well, I'm really not interested in rewards. You know, I'm glad I'm saved and I'm not interested in rewards. If you say that, you're also saying you're not interested in what God desires for you. Because God says, I want you to have rewards. God says, I give you this instruction reminding you that I'm going to reward you someday and I want you to have those rewards. You remember Jesus, it says of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. And the Lord says He wants us to have rewards someday. And so we should desire those rewards. Today we've talked about employees, employers. However you fall in that, I want to remind you that someday we're going to see Jesus. Imagine what it's going to be like. We go to heaven and there's the Lord. We're standing before Him. He who left heaven's glory, He who was rich and became poor for us, there He is. He who became a servant on our behalf, servant to God the Father so that we might receive the benefits of salvation. He who became sin for us. He who knew no sin that took upon Himself the sin of the world. He who became sin for us. There we stand before Him. He who bought our redemption by His own precious blood on the cross of Calvary. He paid that price for us. There we stand before Him. We can see the print in His hands and the print in His feet and the place in His side, the evidence of the cross. There we stand before Him. He who has been preparing a place for us. Through all these years, He's preparing a place for us. John chapter 14. And now it's come time, and there we stand before Him. He who has asked us to obey Him. And we're standing there before Him, knowing that He's asked us to do that. He who knows everything about us. All of our excuses, whether they've been true or not, He knows everything about us. And there's no hiding from that. And we stand before Him. And He who is now our judge, He told us while we were on this earth, through the Word of God, that we were going to stand before Him. He told us that He would reward us according to the way we've acted. And there we stand before Jesus Christ. I just believe in that day that these verses we've looked at this morning are going to be very important. Maybe you were employee for many years in a particular place. Everybody thought you were a great Christian, but people at work knew that it wasn't true because you grumbled and complained and griped about your job and you weren't thankful and you couldn't stand it and you talked about your employer and you did shoddy work, but you still got your paycheck. It'll all come out at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you've been the employer or the person in authority over people, The way you treated people will all come out at the judgment seat of Christ. And you will hope, or you will, if you've served the Lord like you should, that you'll be glad that you did it on this earth with fear and trembling, because there you're before Him and there's fear and trembling. You'll be glad that you did it with singleness of heart, because there you'll understand there's nothing else that's really important. And you'll be glad that you served the Lord knowing that you were going to face Him, because here it is. God says, I want you to work for Jesus while you're working with other people. And by the way, that stands true of your pastor as well. And the Lord will hold me responsible for the way I worked for Jesus while I was working with people. Sometimes we can forget that God holds us accountable for everything we do. Our life is not secular. Our life, every moment of it, everywhere we go, every moment of our life as a Christian is sacred, because we are living for our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to be faithful servants. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us of this truth. Lord, today, and with all the emphasis on work relationships and unions and their demands and workers and their demands and all the things we hear about, it's refreshing, Lord, to find this simple instruction from the Word of God that tells us we're to obey and we're to represent You in this world. Lord, help us to do that. If there's one here today who's never trusted Jesus, first of all, Lord, I hope that none of us have been a stumbling block to them. And then I pray that You will speak to their heart, that they might today realize their need of Jesus and know that You died for them on the cross. You paid for their sin. You shed Your blood. You rose from the grave. You're alive, and You want to save them if they'll believe on You. So work in their heart as well today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.